You know
Love Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Champagne. Don't worry, little children. And don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden. The bite comes from that pain. When life gives you lemon. Take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hey, hama, hama. Hama, 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 hama.
Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like, oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I feel much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. But now I feel better, better, better. Well, life gives you lemon. I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. How many miracles I have seen each day. If I can just get out of my own way.
When life gives you lemon, instead of champagne.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, lemonade, so dumb. It's already been done, like, a billion times. But luckily, I was in the shot, because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
That song is crazy. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to If Life Give You Lemon, Make the Martini Show. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. And this show is serious with a dash of humor. Life is what you make it. You may be rich but unhappy or broken happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. How many pity parties did you have? Ever went from being a victim to becoming victorious? Ever been down so low you could swing your legs on a dime? Do you have a sense of humor? Ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? Want to vent or just have something to get off your chest? If you answer yes to one of these questions, this show is for you. On my show, you get free exposure if you're a business owner, starting a business, author, expert, or just want to share information of importance, I invite you to come on as a guest and let's chop it up. Sorry, there'll be no discussion of religion or politics. If you're interested in being a co-host or guest, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, that email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a beautiful weekend and starting this Monday off well, in spite of the coronavirus or whatever it is that's going around. We have a very special guest this evening, a young lady who has written 11 books. She also ghost wrote a book. She's a poet, and she's from Alabama. And her latest book, Why Did I Stay So Long, is a book about domestic violence on seniors or teenagers or anyone who has been a victim of that epidemic. So we're going to get right into it with authoress Terry Lowes. Hi, Terry. How are you, darling?
Hey, darling. How you doing, Gail? And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be on your show tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're quite welcome. Okay, now you have, this is your 11th book, right, that you have under your name, besides the book that you ghostwrote.
That's correct.
Can you give us a little background on some of your other books before we get into this latest book of yours?
Okay. I do write poetry. I write short stories and a couple of novels. My first book, Brown Bag Poetry, it's a book that I didn't know what to put in there, so I put in everything. I put godly, I put sexual, I put raunchy, I put funny, you know. And the thing is, when I write a book, every title of my book kind of like tell you what's going to be happening. And I'm not a bougie writer. When I say something, it's clear. It's not something like, oh, the wind bellows through the trees. I would say, no, the leaves and fell off the damn tree. My Lord, you know, I can see the wind, feel the wind blowing.
Yeah, so you, I've read a couple of your books, and your poetry is really dynamic, you know, because you can put a poem together that's meaningful, a poem that has a lot of expression to it, and, you know, like you had mentioned, how you put your things together. How long have you been writing poetry as well as you've been writing stories, or when did that come about?
Well, I have been writing since I was in school, but I didn't know there was something special. Like, people would pay me to write stuff, like if they was deciding to break up with somebody or they wanted to send a mean letter. You know, I just had a way with words, but it didn't start until 2008 when I first published my first book, and it all had to do with Steve Harvey. I was listening to his radio show, and he was saying that people are mad at him for his success. And he said, God gives everybody a talent. Some have more than one. And he said, whatever it is that you do well, that's your talent. So I said to myself, I said, Lord, what can I do? I mean, what's my talent, you know? And my brain said, run your mouth all the time, write it down. And this stuff started to flow. And within the first month, I had wrote the first book, Brown Bag Poetry. So my advice to anybody out there listening, you know, however you feel, that's what you write down. Don't let nobody change you or say you can't write that, because the passion that you put in a book, it shows other people the realness that you've been authentic, you know, and that's how I do, you know. What you see in the books and what you see with me when I talk to you, I'm real, because I've been through a lot in my life. I don't have to, you know, hide what I've done, because I put it out there what I've done. I ain't nobody special. My dad and my grandfather were ministers, raised in a good family. I married a guy who was into the occult and cheating on me. I left his behind, moved to California. He got me as a virgin. I was wondering, what can I do? You know, how can I not lose another man by being inexperienced? So I started swinging. You know, California, when I went there, I was like, wow, you know, it was a brand new environment. Started selling crystal meth, you know. But, you know, something got to the point when the police was looking for me. I said, it's time to stop, because I can't do jail, because my – voluptuous anatomy. I'm thick and juicy. I ain't trying to fight nobody every damn day. Somebody trying to hump on me because it ain't happening. Because I'm strictly, can I say, Lee, with start with D, add to Lee.
Yeah. Now that sounds like your book before this book, or was it another, your autobiography, so to speak?
Yeah.
When you touched down on this different subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right.
So what made you put out an autobiography opposed to, you know, your memoirs? Because, you know, we basically hear people like celebrities or a well-known person, you know, who generally writes their autobiography. What made you put the book out, you know, your autobiography, opposed to, you know, writing it, like your memoirs?
Because, Gail, I try to stay in tune with Christ. I'm very grateful that I'm here because I know I could have been dead a lot of times. You know, I went through some bad relationships after my husband and I split up. You know, I went through some stuff. And at the time, you know, my mind was telling me that God said, okay, well, your 10th book, which is called Broken, which is my autobiography, since I was born the 10th month, the 10th day, the 55 year, so it just seems on the 10th book, I was going to put it out there and keep it real. And, you know, a lot of times we are afraid to let people know what we've been through. But let me say something to everybody out there listening, you know, whether you're a global listener or a local listener, you know, everybody who point a finger at you, they got three pointing back at them. And these people in church also, the ones who act hoity-toity, dress real nice and thinking that they're better, they gifted, they're better than you. Let me tell you, those kind of people, they got some crap and some mess in their background, and, you know, all of a sudden they conveniently forget it. But don't let nobody put you down, baby, because you can have the main line straight to God. And, you know, somebody, I just want to say this, you know, and I know Gail don't talk about religion, but I'm just going to give my perspective on this book. It just seems to me that, you know, all of us have went through some stuff. Everybody got some skeletons in the closet or whatever the case may be. But, you know, a lot of people act like they don't feel like they're worthy to be loved. You know, everybody deserves to be loved, deserves to be respected, you know. And, you know, sometimes when you have nowhere to go, a lot of people will turn to God. But let me say this, you know, I feel so ashamed sometimes, me, when I try to approach Lord, because I think about my imperfections. I think about the stuff I said out of my mouth. I think about the things that I've done, you know, and I humble myself and bow my head because I don't want to see him in my mess. But one perfect thing that I love, that agape love, when God look at me, instead of him seeing the mess that I am, he see the blood of his son that covers me, and that same blood covers you. And I'm sorry, Gail, that I had to deviate because I know you don't do religion and politics. But I just had to keep it real about me, you know, and today the interview is about me.
No, I don't. The thing that about discussing religion is when two people get in a battle, you know, saying this and saying that, that's what I mean. But if you want to speak about, you know, how you're, what you went through and that involves God, I don't have a problem with that. You know, but it's the thing of people saying, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a Baptist, I'm this and that and all this and that. Those are the types of discussions that I, you know, don't allow on my show. So, you know, there was nothing wrong with you, you know, saying that because, you know, like you had mentioned, we're all God's children, and we all are imperfect, and we all fall short of God's grace and mercy. But because he's such a good and loving God, he forgives us every time we, you know, we sin. And he blesses us even when we are sinning. And people don't realize that, and they just go through life doing whatever it is they want to do, and they never show any gratitude towards God for waking up. For instance, when you wake up in the morning, it wasn't because of your alarm clock. It wasn't because your mother called you and said it's time to get up. You woke up because God allowed you to wake up. And people never wake up, the first thing to come out their mouth in the morning is thank you, God, for another day. You know, but people would have to learn to show gratitude instead of attitude. You know, people get mad at God when things happen. It's not his fault, because God promised us all eternal life. It's just a point of us accepting it. But, you know,
God,
you just have to.
You know, I like what you said, show stop. We say show gratitude instead of attitude, because a lot of people, when things ain't going right, they want to blame God, but they don't do anything.
Right.
Praise Him to humble yourself and do something that's godly, loving. But you know, darling, it's just that I just hope that anybody that I come in contact with, I want to share Christ. You know, and I don't sit there and try to browbeat nobody. I just want to give them an option in case they didn't know Him, you know, and tell them about what I've went through, because can't nobody tell me nothing if they haven't been through what I've been through. And I don't mind exposing my wounds. I'm feeling stupid or embarrassed. I don't care about putting it out there, because if I put it out there, you can't shame me. And I'm not looking for your approval. I'm looking for God's approval. So, you know, a lot of times I just put it out there. I'll show people what I've done, how stupid I was, you know, and everything else, because a person ain't trying to listen to nobody who don't know where they've been. So when you think, walk in my shoes, I've been there, baby. I done walked in a whole lot of shoes. So ain't nothing you can say that's going to freak me out, that's going to make me feel like, ugh, been there, done that. You know, if we just had the conversation, you would know. I'm as real can be, and I'm so grateful to be here. That's why I talk about it all the time.
Right, right. And you know, like, people need to wake up and smell the coffee and get with the program, because time, life is so short. You can be here today and gone the next minute. You know, people talking about be gone tomorrow. You can be gone the next minute. So it's best if you get it right with God and live your life accordingly, you know, because all these worldly things are going to just be gone. And when you're gone, you can't take nothing with you. So, you know, people need to wise up, wake up, and share and love and care for one another instead of hating each other. And, you know, it's just that's just the way the world is, you know. And Trump, we really have to pray for him, because in the Bible Express, we have to pray for our leaders, regardless of how crazy they are, mixed up they are, and liars that they are. We still have to respect them and pray for them. And a lot of people are being misled by Trump. But, you know, a lot of people don't know any better or just won't accept any better, you know, because there are people who like to see chaos. There are people who like to deal in chaos. There are people who like trouble and drama, you know. So those people we really, really have to pray for, as well as our brothers and sisters and, you know, people who are in need of prayers, as well as praying for ourselves, you know, because if we don't, we're going to lose that gift. And, you know, I always want a gift from God opposed to a gift from man, you know. So with that being said, your book, Broken, you know, you're getting all that out. You know, I know that for years, or, you know, whatever you had went through during that time you was going through, what you was going through, I know it was a relief, you know, writing that book and getting it out. Because I have, you know, books that I've written, and some of my books I've expressed things that had happened in my life, but in a fictional form, you know, because I didn't want to put, you know, people, well, in some of my books I have people, real names that they let me use, but, you know, some things actually happened, you know, and it relieved me, because when I was 15, I was raped. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to put out my memoirs about that, and a secret that I've held for years and years and years, and I've only told two people so far about this secret, but I am going to put it in my book. My book, is in the title of that book, is going to be A Rose is a Rose and Rape is Rape. And I've held on to that secret, and I've really just told these people within the last year, and it happened when I was 14. So, and I was raped when I was 15, but, you know, it's just been a secret that I harbored. And at one point it had gotten buried so deep in my mind that I had forgot about it, but I had a trigger, and, you know, it brought it back. So that's going to be in the book as well. And, you know,
you're right about that. A lot of people who have been molested or whatever, it could be years later and they have a trigger. But, you know, they still have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And basically anything that's traumatic, you know, sometimes when people can't relate to that, they wind up becoming alcoholics, using drugs,
right.
Because they don't know what to do. And it's because of the incident they were victims, and a lot of times the victims don't know how to say, it's not my fault. And that's the thing is,
right.
A lot of people hold that stuff that somebody did to them, but it's not my fault. And you got to learn to say that it's not my fault and press forward and keep moving.
Right. Well, it took me years to forgive myself as well as forgiving the person who had raped me. And, you know, once I did that, like I was like in my 50s when I forgave this person, you know, but all during before that, I did drugs, I did this, I did that, been through this. And people don't realize that when you're going through something, the story behind it, you know, because the person says, oh, look at her, she a drug addict. Why is she doing drugs and this and that? She ain't got to be. But you don't know what that person has been through, what brought them to that circle. Because one thing, you take them and you self-medicate to forget and to stop having nightmares and stop being tortured by the thoughts and seeing that scene happening over and over and over and having those triggers, you know. But once I got off the drugs, and I've been clean for over 30 years now, thanks to God, and forgave the guy who had raped me, you know, and then there's been other things that happened in my life, and I just had to come to the conclusion with myself to forgive everybody who has ever done anything to me and ask, you know, for their forgiveness for anything if I've ever done anything to them, because God does not forgive those who don't forgive. So I want to be God-like and forgive, you know, people who have done things to me and, you know, hope, well, I can only ask for their forgiveness, and whether they forgive me or not, that's on them. But I truly, you know, forgive people who have ever done anything to me and, you know, try to keep it moving, because I'm not going to be stagnant and held back, you know, on the fact of, you know, trying to be vengeful, trying to hold attitudes and, you know, just being bitter, you know, because all those things manifest themselves eventually into illnesses. And people wonder why they're sick, because you poison yourself with guilt. You poison yourself with meanness, ornery, hatefulness. And all those things manifest in your body as diseases. So I don't have time for that. I just had surgery last February on my knee. And I'm telling you, I don't ever want to have another surgery, period, on my body. I had another surgery years ago, a bunionectomy on my toe. But going through that surgery was a change for me as well. It changed me spiritually, physically, and mentally, you know. So people need to just stop, take a deep breath, love yourself, and then love everybody else, because a lot of people don't love themselves. That's why they are bitter. Because you can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself. You come first. And I love me to no end. I'm a big girl, but I love me. You know, and whoever don't like it, that's on them. I still love me. And I'm always going to love me, even though before I didn't understand and know how to love myself, because I did all the things to myself, abusing myself, not loving myself, not caring for myself on account of somebody else's invasion on my privacy, you know. So it comes a time in our lives when we need to look up, because if you ever fall down and you can see up, you can get up. It's when you don't get up that's the problem. So I'm learning every day something new. You know, I'm trying to keep my mind sharp. I passed the Alzheimer's test, so and not to say that I don't forget things, because I do, you know, but I know one thing, I passed that test. You know, a lot of people have Alzheimer's and dementia, are dying from it, you know, but I hope and I pray that I live a long, full life where I don't have to have anybody to take care of me. Or, you know, I become hopeless and helpless, because getting into the book, you know, the elderly are really abused and mistreated and neglected because of their conditions. Because I had an aunt who was in a nursing home. She, every time I went to see her, she was always in the same position.
Gail, it doesn't always have to be elderly because of their condition, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's. That's not the reason elderly get abused, because the book also tells you how men, and the statistic is growing. It's like 33% to 40% each year and continually growing. Men are abused. Old people are abused.
Oh,
and I'm talking about not because they got abused. It's because some of these older men that were young boys that had a violent past, and that's how they was raised. And when they get older and they got their wife for many years, they think that they can control them. And one thing my mom told me before she died, she said when she was coming up that they didn't value the wives, especially black women, because they felt like, so what? Let's get rid of another one. And that's sad to say that the racism back then, they didn't care when the mother or the wife runs to the police to look for some kind of help. The police say, it's a domestic dispute. Or when the man abuses her and rapes her, they do nothing. And I know that to be true because one of my mother's husbands did that to her, and I remember running out in the middle of the night, snow on the ground in Baltimore City, sheer nightgowns, running to the courthouse, the police station, waiting for the commissioner to come. And when he come, he don't do nothing, And it wasn't until later down the road when, I'm sorry to say, when Caucasian women started getting raped by their husband, that's when they made it a law. But long as you was black, wearing that dark skin, they could care less. And that's why a lot of women have been killed, and everything, and disrespected, because that was the way it was. The women just were disrespected, and the man, it's like he owned her. It's like he was a slave master.
That is true, because, the laws and things were specifically for the white person and against the black person, because if a white person did one thing and a black person did the same thing, of course the black person is going to be treated differently because of the color of the skin. And that's sad, because it shouldn't be the color of your skin that counts. It's your character that should be looked at. But that's just the way it is. It's always been like that, because the Caucasian man felt that he was superior.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like raping women, they've always raped the black woman and got away with it. But as soon as a white woman was raped, it was on. They was hanging black men. And some of them weren't even getting raped, because I know you remember the story of Roswell. I think it was Roswell or Rose. Well, the story where the town was burnt down because this woman had claimed a black man had raped her when he didn't, so.
That's a story, kind of like of Emmett Till. He went down to visit his relatives, and they said that he looked at her and said something crazy. 14 years old. But, back to the book, why did I stay so long? I want people to understand, it's okay for you to discuss with people that somebody is doing something inappropriate, abusing you sexually, emotionally, physically. But what the book does, it just don't sit there and talk about what you've been through. You don't really need to hear that over and over again. What the book addresses is that you've been a victim. It gives you a game plan, what you need to do when you plan to escape that situation, because everybody needs to be loved. It also gives you resources, places to go to. It tells you what to do before you escape, and whether you broke, have children, or whatever, it's okay. You can get out of there, because a lot of people stay too long because they say, well, I got kids, I'm not working, I don't have no money, or I got to stay here because I alienated my family, and my family don't want to fool me no more, because every time I told them to help, I go back to that guy. Whatever your reasons is, or because you've been with a person so long, he done took down your self-esteem and you believe all that garbage coming out of his mouth. Let me tell you, whether you're a male, a senior citizen, teenager, whatever you may be, you are a victim. If you're not treated with respect, if somebody's not bringing you down verbally or putting you down physically or taking your body when they want to. And for men, I feel the worst for them, because a lot of times these guys, they see a woman and she's pretty and she little off and wild, and they want that crazy sex. And then after they get with her and everything, and then she flipped the script. And then she started talking smack to him, putting her hands on him. He afraid to call the police because the police would say, oh, man, stop lying. That girl ain't do that, da-da-da-da-da. Or he don't want his friends to know that he was a chump. He had this girl, you know, he brought her in, spent his cash and all this and that. And all of a sudden, you know, she got a little full of herself and she started putting her hands on her. And, you know, God don't want to hit a woman back because he know that the police come, first person going, he's going to jail. So I just want people to know the book, Why Did I Stay So Long? You can get that book by PayPal, invoice to me, or Zelle from your bank account. They come to me in 5 minutes, or Cash App or whatever. And if nothing else, if you've been through it, it shows you how to heal. You can share that book with somebody that you know who's going through something, you know. And I got it in a couple of libraries down here, and I'm going to try to put it in some of the abuse centers because this book, you know, I'm taking a loss on it because it's hardback copy. It costs me $13 per book to print it, and I'm paying the $7.75, the priority postage, which takes, you get it in 2 days, just because I'm taking a loss because I know this is bad, what's going on. Because even recently in the news, they're talking about Boy Scout kids, that's grown men, that was violated. The guy said, the guy, the Boy Scout, you know, leader, he was pushing him in the back and grabbing him in the front, and he said he turned to alcoholism and everything else because he couldn't wrap his mind around it. He didn't want to tell nobody. So even though sexual, physical, and emotional abuse has been going on forever, somebody needs to speak up. And I don't need to just talk about, oh, girl, he did this to me. You know, show me how to get the hell out of the situation. And that's what my book will address, how to get out of it, you know. Because don't nobody want to hear what you're going through. If they're not going to help me, then I don't want to hear about it. You know, don't use me as a topic of your gossip. If you can't help me, whether it's financially or get me to escape, then I don't care what you want to talk about because it's not going to stop the tears from burning my face. It's not going to stop me from being hurt. It's not going to stop me from being isolated. But anybody you with, trust and believe, if they're trying to isolate you from your family members or friends and people that love you, watch out. Because that's what they do. They try to make sure they don't like nobody that you like. And then one time he gets you into a point where he can just do whatever he want to do to you, you have no way to turn because you're going to piss off everybody else because you love this person so much that you alienated all the people who loved you. And so now you're stuck. And that's why a lot of people are trying to escape and get out of it.
Right. And then the fact of the matter, a lot of women ignore the red flags that be going up because if a guy, it starts off verbally abuse, and then it eventually turns into physical abuse. But women think, some women think that they can actually change these men and get into these relationships with married men and men who are in other relationships. And then when it gets out of hand, they don't know what to do. But the first thing that, you know, women should look at, is this man married? Never get involved with the married man because it's not going to work out. I don't care if he tell you he's divorcing or he's divorced or this and that. Never get involved with the married man. And a man who's in a relationship, that could create issues as well because when that girlfriend finds out, don't be surprised when you open your door one day and she just shoots you. You know, because there's been so many stories about these women getting involved with other people's husbands, other people's boyfriends, and they ended up dead. You know, and we as women, we have our intuition. And if you don't listen to that, then you're going to be lost. And when it comes to serious things, you know, because sometimes I'd be going somewhere and I say, maybe I should go this way. No, I'm going to go this way. And then when I go the other way, it's always something going. I said, I should have listened to that first thought that came into my mind. You know, not to say that it's always going to be right, but sometimes when serious situations come up, you know, you have to really make a conscious decision as to what to do. Now, when you're with somebody for years and years and years, some women, they're not educated. They never had a job, and they have 6 and 7 kids, and this man is abusing them, neglecting them, and running around and all this kind of stuff. The first thing that come out of their mouth is, well, I never worked. I don't know how to read and, you know, things like that. So,
but let me say this, you know, you're right. There's a lot of women who got kids out there and they stay in that situation. But what they don't know is that the police is obligated when a person have children to protect the child. So you can even call the police and say this person will be gone from this time or this time, and they will come and get you out. They will take you to a battered women's shelter or some kind of shelter, and that's a whole lot better where you're safe, you can eat, and no one knows the location. That's one of the things. They can't know the location. It's a private location that the police know. And that's what I'm saying. If you got a lot of kids and you're afraid, you don't have the money to get out, you can always call the police. Tell them what you're going through. If you can, save pictures of different things they have done to you and everything, and they'll come get you out of there. And if he shows up, they will take you out of there with your children, and he won't be able to do nothing to you because they're legally bonded by law to protect endangered children. And when a child is with a parent that is being violated, abused, or whatever, that child is in danger. So in case you don't know, you better know that you got help.
Okay. Now, that's another thing. When these women get those those order of protection, that is a false sense of security.
Training order, you talking about?
Yeah, because one thing, that's just a piece of paper, and they tell you, oh, well, you know, you have this, and he can't do that. But if a man wants to hurt you, and he's determined to do that at any cost, that means freedom or whatever, that's what he's going to do. So for these women, these restraining orders, I mean, it's a good thing because if they catch him before he does anything, maybe they will lock him up. Maybe they will give him some years and years and years. But I've seen where men have gotten locked up, got out of jail, and went and still killed the woman.
Because they're evil. Mm-hmm. Some people are born evil. I mean, Quasi's kept. You know, we like to think that people ain't that dirty or that sadistic. But there are some people that are born evil. You know, I'm going to say this. I was talking to somebody, you know, in the past, and I was hot. I was mad. And as I was talking to this person, I'm telling you the honest to God truth, you know, the pupil of your eye, I saw that eye, that small pupil, fill the whole white part of the eye completely black. And it scared the shit out of me. But I didn't want to pretend like I was scared, but I just held my own. I said, just get the out of my face, right? And so I went to Google everything. I Googled it. What does it mean when a person's whole eye is black, there's no white? And it said evil, possession, you know. So some people, you know, you got to believe, you know, if you believe that there's a higher being, you know, Satan is just as powerful, you know, down here on earth because this is his reign on earth, because he was kicked out of heaven, him and one-third of the angels, because he was trying to be better than God. But see, Satan got a lot of people who was following him. You know, y'all heard about these satanic rituals and cults and whatever, whatever. But, you know, when you're living, you say, oh, that ain't true. And that is why the satanic rituals and people are growing exponentially, because the simple fact that people don't believe that it's true. But if you don't believe that Satan exists, you're going to have a lot of drama in your life. And the reason why Satan is giving drama to all these good people, because he knows his time is running out. So, baby, let me tell you, there are some people out there who are just evil. Don't think everybody is normal. Some people ain't normal. They just freaking evil. And you got to, like Gail say, follow your instincts. If the hair on your neck get the cringing and you feel all weird, or you hear something say, get out in your brain, get the hell out. You know, I don't care. You ain't got to have a quarter or whatever. Just get out. You know, somebody will hide you, and you will find some refuge, I'm telling you. You know, if you ever feel like you're stuck, call me. I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen that happen with anybody's eyes, but I know there's a lot of satanic things going on and a lot of people who praise and worship the devil. But, you know, you have to that's when you have to be steadfast and trust and believe in God, because God is the answer to everything. And he knows all and sees all and he does all, and he will help I mean, God is there for every one of his children. We are all his children, regardless of our faith, religion, color, whatever. We are all his children because he created us. But those ones who deviated away, they made a conscious decision to do that. And we all are given the free will to do, you know, either right or wrong. And those who choose to do wrong, they will be dealt with. You know, because people are always thinking, well, they got away with it. Why can't I? They did this. Why can't I? One thing for certain, two things are for sure. You cannot compare your life with what somebody else is doing or how somebody else gets away with something. Because guess what? They got away with it with man. But with God, they still are going to have to pay the price. So, you know, I know people who get angry because that person over there got more than what I got. Be grateful and thankful for what you do have. You know, a person better start showing gratitude, like I had mentioned earlier, instead of attitude, because God gets the last word.
That's the truth. Can't argue with
the
truth.
He gets the last word. And, you know, as far as, you know, men being abused, I used to work at the hospital, and this guy, he would come to work with black eyes and all this other kind of stuff. He confided in a friend because, you know, when, you know, you're a man, that takes away his masculinity. And he really don't want to be embarrassed or say, well, my wife did this. But he had told one of his friends that his wife had, you know, was abusing him. And this guy, he was really, he was nice, he was quiet. And but I don't know what was going on at home. But some women, once they get that power, once they get that power over men, they use it. And then it becomes abusive, and they become abusers. And I've never met a woman that could really beat a man. But men, now I'll speak of, these are real men who don't put their hands on women. Maybe it was because of something that happened in their life. They may have been in, their mother and father may have been in abusive relationships, and he promised he would never do what his father did to his wife, you know, because you had men like that. And then you had the men who were families at all abuse, the mother and the father abuse, and then they become abusive to their girlfriends or their wives. You know, those are conscious decisions that these people are making, opposed to being, because if you get into an argument, the best thing to do is to walk away till you cool off and then come back, you know, and apologize and then talk about it sensibly instead of screaming, hollering, shouting, cussing, fussing, throwing things, and, you know, just acting like animals. You know, you have to learn how to be, you have to learn how to be compatible with your partner. Learn who you are being with before you even get with this person. Because if you get with somebody and you don't know them, trust and believe eventually that real person is going to come out, and it may not be the person that you was expecting. You know, a lot of people meeting people on the internet, on chat lines, and, you know, different things of the sort. And I've been through all that. The internet and chat lines, and everyone that I have ever met off the internet and chat lines, except for maybe about, I could say one person out of them, you know, they've been liars, deceitful, con artists, and, you know, and the likes. You know, because when you're behind a computer or on the phone, you have anonymity. No one can see you. You can describe yourself. You can describe yourself as the most beautiful person in the world. But when you are seen, and sometimes they never show up because they know that they're lying from the beginning. They extort you out of money or whatever they can get out of you. And, you know, then you're feeling stupid. But, you know, women, you know, and men as well, because men have been through the same thing. You know, see these programs where men have hooked up with these women over the internet, sending them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and then they're wanting to meet them, and they're telling them, my family's sick, this and that. And when they stop sending the money, that's when they stop communicating with them.
Right.
So, you know, don't set yourself up for failure. Don't set yourself up for a broken heart. You know, and a lot of people going through that, wanting to be in these relationships. But, you know, you have to be very cautious when it comes to the heart. I've had my heart broken before. That's one pain that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I would rather have knee surgery again than have my heart broken again. That is not a good feeling at all. and I was in an abusive relationship, you know. But you learn, if you don't take a lesson from the relationship that you're in, then it's a waste of time. You know, you have to, when you get into another relationship, you know, do an evaluation of the person. Do an evaluation of yourself. Find out what's going on in his world. Find out, you know, and see if you're compatible. But people are just
looking. You know, that's just called wisdom. You know, people don't understand. A lot of people, I don't understand why they continue the same cycle. Because when you do the same thing over and over and over again with the same results, that's ludicrous. So people who do that, they are foolish, because wisdom dictates it only takes one time to mess me over, you know, and I know not to go there again. That's wisdom. That's growth. When people stay in it, that's foolishness.
And then, you know, like there are the women who claim that they can't do this, they can't do that. That's because you have let this man take your self-esteem, stagnate you, and make you feel that you're the lowest person on the totem pole when you're not. Get up, because, I mean, and then some women feel that they're entitled to different things, but men, they feel different. But when you are in a relationship, if you're not compatible from the beginning, then why waste your time? Because you know this person is not going to be the person that you thought they were, and you can't change a person. You can only change yourself. So if you get this, a lot of these women think, well, he cheated on her, but he ain't going to cheat on me. Newsflash, a cheater is a cheater. So if a man cheats on you, cheats on his wife, trust and believe he's going to cheat on every woman he's been with. You know, and that's a learned and taught behavior when a person is a cheater. They don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, well, I guess I'll go cheat on my wife today. That is something that they either was taught or learned. Somewhere along down the line, they may have seen their mother and father cheating, their uncle or sister, brother or somebody or friend. So they felt that, oh, okay, they got away with it. Well, you know, I'm going to do the same thing. And then they go from one woman to another, but they're always telling that first woman, I love you, I want to be with you, blah, blah. Because that's what was going on in my relationship. I was in a relationship 13 years, and the guy was a cheater, I found out.
Sometimes things are from observation, because to say taught to me implies that, you know, I'm grooming you to do this. I'm grooming you. But
I don't mean in that sense. I don't mean grooming the person. No, I don't mean that. As far as, like, if a person sees, okay, say, like, for instance, your son.
I get it, you know, because no one really is going to groom somebody to be a pig.
Right,
you know,
it's not
but,
that grooming somebody, but it's just like, if you see, if you're told that fire is hot, that's teaching you not to touch it. It's not going to be putting your hand in the fire and showing you this. It's just going to say, well, you know, that fire is hot. Don't touch it.
Yeah, but if you work for a circus and putting your hand in the fire all the time or swallowing down fire down your throat, maybe somebody watching might say, oh, okay, I can do it too, and burn the hell up.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, that's you know. But, you know, and men and women as well cheat, you know, but the majority of it is on the man. And men are poor cheaters. They are the worst cheaters because they get caught. It's you know, they men are just, I hate to really say it, but some men are just dumb to certain facts. And women, you know, not to say that they don't get caught, but a woman is less likely to get caught before a man gets caught. Because men, they so blatantly do things. Like, why would you all of a sudden, you have two cell phones? When we got together, you had one cell phone. Now you got two cell phones. And I try to pick up your phone. Oh, no, don't touch my phone. That's a red flag right there. You know, and he's getting up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work when he ain't got to be to work till 9 o'clock. You know, you have to have these, have your antennas in. Now, yeah, you have to have your little antennas up. What's going on here? Something is not right. But some women see the flags and ignore them. Then when things go west, this person starts abusing you because he wants to get out of that relationship opposed to just walking away. He comes home, start an argument, beat you up, then leave and go be with this other woman.
Well, you know, Gail, it's pretty sad that a lot of women, you know, they feel that they need to have a man to feel important, even though the man is not treating them right. You know, if a man can't bring nothing to the plate, you better let him go. I mean, because at the end of the day, you can satisfy yourself. There are toys out there, adult shops you can go to, or you can wait on that man that's good for you. You don't have to, you know, and this pisses me off, especially in the South. You know, a lot of people in the South, I've noticed, they have these men around, and these men are sorry. Don't bring nothing to the plate. They're cheating. They're drunk, or they just lazy, living off of her. But she feels like, okay, I got a man. So what? I mean, that man ain't bringing up to you to make you feel as a better person. They're not lifting you up. They're tearing you down. And some of these women, for whatever reason it is, they got to stop trying to nurture, trying to think they can change somebody. When a person shows you who he is, you better believe it.
Yes, 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 yes. And then as far as these women wanting to say just to have a man to say they have a man, that's crazy because having a man and a real man is two different things. And see, these men who know women that will accept them when they have other women on the side, that's sad too. Because one friend, a girl, had told me, she said, well, I already know my boyfriend got somebody else, but I don't care as long as he come home and pay my bills and all this and that. No, I can't accept that.
And that's,
you know, why are you going to let this man be shared? That's crazy.
But, you know, these women also who's having male children, it's your responsibility to raise that young boy up to be a man. Show them that you're supposed to lift up that woman. Make sure you don't put your hands on her and you respect her. You know, because my grandsons, I mean, they, from day one, you know, we taught them about how to treat women. We don't do that because if you don't train the little boys up, they're going to be a problem as a man to some other woman. So it's your responsibility as their mother or their guardian, whoever is raising that young man, make him a man with substance who have morals. You know, let him know that it's not right to treat a person this way, whether it's male or female. You know, because, you know, you can teach a person how to be a good person as well as, you know, you can let a person observe how to be a bad person. So, you know, it's our responsibility to do what we have to do.
Yeah, and if a person is receptive, then that's how it'll be. But you have some of these young men out here that don't care, and they'll let you know, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And those are the young men who are in jail for murder, for rape, for robbery, all because they didn't care. They didn't care to listen to their parents when they were growing up, or even their parents wasn't instilling good morals and values into them. You know, you have a lot of these young boys growing up, you know, supporting the family by selling drugs. And then as soon as they get busted, the mother, she's all upset. When, you know, you have to instill morals into your children as soon as they hit, as soon as they come in the world. You can do it while they're in your stomach. But, you know, you have to build that rapport with your children to let them know that they are the child. And you are the adult, and you will respect me like I'm going to respect you. But you have these parents whose children are so disrespectful. They will fight their mothers, fight their fathers, kill them, and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because the parents did not instill morals in them, did not demand respect from them, and let them just do what they want to do. And I refused. When my children were growing up, there was no way in the world. If I had the thought, the thought ran across my mind that my children would call the police on me for disciplining them. Oh, they would. When the police came, their clothes would be packed, and the police would be taking them with them. You know, you don't call the police on your parents. When we were growing up, we got beaten, and I'm still okay. You know, but now you can't even discipline your own children. But the police have the right to kill your child.
Yeah, that's sad.
Abuse starts from the point of when a person is lost. A person has no morals, no scruples, no value. They don't even value their own life, that they can go and hurt somebody else. You know, and it's almost an epidemic because every day you're hearing. I think this happened in Mississippi. A guy and he was having some kind of dispute. He goes from door to door and killed, I think, 8 people. Just because he had, I think, with his wife or something, they were going through something. And he gets angry.
That person had mental
issues. Huh?
That person had mental issues. When a person act out of anger and rage and they killing innocent people, that person has some kind of bipolar, manic depression. They got something else going on because a normal person ain't going to do that. If they got a dispute with somebody they with, that's isolated between them two. But for someone to go and kill innocent people, they got some kind of problem with schizophrenia, bipolar, something wrong with them.
Right, but they also had that conscious decision before they do that to take that gun. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Because if you take a gun and point it at somebody and pull the trigger, that's, you know what you're doing. So, you know, people can say they're mentally ill and all this other kind of stuff, but you also have that before he became that way, because an argument or something can set a person off. But you still have that conscious decision. You could take a walk around the block, count to 10, do this, do that, whatever. But people have a conscious decision to make a decision, be it good or bad. And when you make a bad decision, you are going to suffer the consequences.
Right. Well, darling, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you, but I got some other things on my plate and I must go. And I just want to tell everybody out there, you deserve to be loved. You deserve to be treated right. You know, don't let nobody steal your joy. You know, and don't ever feel like there's no hope, because there is hope. You got to believe that, you know, and go get it, you know. And if you want a copy of my book, Why Did I Stay So Long, you could send me a PayPal invoice to sweetfire01@yahoo.com, or use my phone number, 443-956-8753, or with your bank account. Every bank account offers Zelle. You can take money out your account and send it to my bank account, vice versa, receive and send in 5 minutes. Or you can do Cash App, you know. So get the book, because just because you went through something and you're not in it, there's a lot of things that are still lingering that you might need to address. Just like Gail said, you know, things happened years ago, but when she turned 50, she had a trigger that made her feel some kind of way. And I'm just saying, baby, you know, if you need help, need somebody to talk to, call a sister, you know. I'm always willing to try to help somebody when I can and where I can. And that's just it. When you're out there and you see people and you see warning signs, like people are bruised up or whatever, help somebody. Talk to that person. You know, maybe the person is afraid to tell somebody, you know, don't believe that I've walked into the door or the doorknob hit me in my eye, some stupid stuff. Come on now. You know, be a friend to somebody, you know. And, Gail, I just want to thank you so much for letting me get this out, because right now it's pressing on my heart that I need to do this. This is my first self-help book, and I pray that it helps somebody, because I try to cover all the bases, you know, encourage them, give them a game plan how to get out, tell them resources where to go, you know, and tell them what they need to know. And I even wrote a poem for encouragement. So I love you, Miss Gail Delicious Johnson, but I got to pop out.
Let me ask you this before you leave, Terry. How much is your book?
My book is only $15, and I send in book by priority mail, and that costs $7.75 out of my pocket. So really, you know, you're not spending that much for the book, because I'm paying for the priority mail, and you get the mail in 2 days. So
you're paying for the shipping and handling. The book is $15.
Yes, it's a hardback, not a paperback. It's a hardback cover.
Okay, give your information out as far as your radio show and when you're on, and you know how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, I'm also a radio host. The show is called Unmask on Blog Talk Radio. The number for that, if you want to call in on each Friday Eastern Standard Time at 7:30, is 347-945-6003. So hang out with me if you want to be a guest as well. Talk to see me, call me on my cell phone, 443-956-8753, and I'll get you on the roster to be a guest, you know, because we all have a story to tell, you know. And, you know, stop acting like you can't talk about the things that hurt you or the things that made you feel embarrassed, because when you're true to who you are and you put it out there, you're helping someone else, and you'll be so surprised how relief you feel when you're getting that baggage off your back instead of holding it in. You know, take it out there, because if you tell it, can't anybody come back at you and say, oh, girl, this person did. They can't say that to you because you told your own story, and that way you can control the narrative.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish we had more time, but, you know, you're more than welcome to come back on the show at any given time. And did you give out your Facebook page as well?
My Facebook page is Terry E. Lyle, L-Y-L-E, or authoress Terry E. Lyle. You know, and I'm on Twitter as SweetFire01. I'm on Instagram, but I don't know how to use it, and I really don't know how to use Twitter and Facebook hardly anymore because I'm just so busy, you know, and I try to do it, but I can't be watching the stuff like President Trump, man, you know. So that's why I tell people my cell phone, or call me, just
right.
Get a better chance of reaching me than if you wait for me to answer something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have a few people that are in the queue, but if you guys have any last minute questions, I suggest you hit the one now because Ms. Lyles has got to go. But you know, like I had mentioned, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And guys, get her book. Why Did I Stay So Long? It has a wealth of information in it, and you know, hopefully, you women out there that are in domestic men and women and teenagers as well that are in these domestic relationships, get help or get out, because, you know, it's nothing like being loved and having someone to care for you. But when you have someone that's beating on you, pulling your self-esteem down and treating you like crap, you know, get out. And, you know, don't even think about it. It's hard or anything, because guess what? Get on your knees and God will get you out. You know, he
Amen.
Is the answer. Man will let you down, but God, he will get you out of that situation. I'm telling you, I've been there, done that. So,
all these dead bodies that be turning up, that's because they was in relationships they didn't get out of. Don't be another statistic.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't. Please don't, because I can tell some little horror stories about friends of mine and people that I know that have been through this and even killed because of, you know, a man. You know, like I said, I did know a guy who was being abused, and I have a friend who wrote a book, The Other Foot, and it was about a man who was in an abusive relationship with his wife, was abusing him, and he ended up killing her, but it was an accident. He accidentally, because she would... came at him with the knife, and somehow the knife got turned around and she got killed. So even in situations like that, you know, you have to be cautious, you have to be conscious, and always, always put God first. In any
Amen.
Decision that you make, go to God and ask his opinion, you know, because you're not going to get a wrong answer from him. You're not going to get an iffy answer, maybe answer. You're going to get the right answer. So, you know, with that being said, Terry, thanks again. And, you know, like I said, you're more than welcome to come back anytime. Just, you know, give me a call and we'll make it happen. And
all
thank
right,
you
darling,
for that.
I so appreciate you. And you take care of that knee. Keep trying to bend it back, because I had knee surgery before.
No,
I know it's hard, but just keep bending that sucker back.
Right, my knee is perfect. It's the after effects that I'm having with my leg. But my knee, I have no more problems out of my knee, and they don't tell you the after effects. Cause it feels like electricity running up my leg, feels like water running down my leg, but my knee is fine. My knee is perfect, you hear me? But there are side effects. So, you
right,
know, but I'm just glad that my knee is better. And anybody, I just had a girlfriend had both her knees done. And OMG, it's just, that's one surgery I would never wish on anybody. But having a broken heart is worse. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do in this world. And like I said, keep God first. And, Terry, I'll talk to you soon. And you have
okay.
a blessed evening.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Gail's show. You know, like she said, if you got lemons, you know, we make a martini. You know, I don't drink, but you can make, you take that lemon.
Yeah, make anything out of lemon, you know, because they only can make lemonade, but you can make a lot of things out of lemon. And I want to
okay,
give a shout-out.
Okay, lemon pie, lemon cake, lemon cookies, a lot of things.
Mm, nice.
I just don't do it for a guy who is a lemon, okay?
Right, yeah, I will. I want to make a shout out to my sister Ruby, who's on the line. Hey, darling, how are you? And, you know, with that being said, we're going to close the show, and I'll be back next week or the weekend with another show. And I'm also going to, I didn't do my letters today because we had a special guest on. But, you know, everybody, if you're drinking, don't drive. If you're driving, don't drink. I like talking to you, not about you, like seeing you, not viewing you. And remember, always put God first. And I love you guys. And see you the next time. Have a great week.
All right,
week.
Darling. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, my listeners.
You just listened to the number one radio station on the internet, Delicious Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.